This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The Montford Point Marines were honored with a Congressional Gold Medal in June. They were the first African Americans to serve in the United States Marine Corps. More than 19,000 African American recruits were trained at Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina, from 1942 to 1949. They've received little recognition since, but last month, some 400 surviving Montford Point Marines went to Washington to accept the nation's highest civilian honor. Clarence Willie and F.M. Hooper join me today. Mr. Hooper is a Montford Point Marine. Clarence is a retired Marine who collected interviews with surviving members of the group for a 2007 documentary, and they both attended the ceremony in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Clarence, can you give us a sure thing? Clarence, can you give us a short history of the Montford Point Marines?
Yeah, most definitely. The camp was opened in 1942, actually. It was the first time that African Americans were allowed to serve in the United States Marine Corps. Its history goes back to 1775. African Americans who would be inducted into the Marine Corps trained at Montford Point Marine Base, which was constructed to house them and train them and so forth, just outside of Jacksonville, North Carolina. And as you mentioned earlier, nearly 20,000 of them actually trained there. When I went into the Marine Corps, I had the opportunity to meet the gentleman for whom the camp was named. It's actually been renamed Camp Johnson. The gentleman that I met was Gilbert Johnson. He was also called Hashmark Johnson because he had served in the Army and he had served in the in the Navy. And when he reported to Montford Point, he had hash marks on a sleeve, and he carried the name for the rest of his life, Gilbert Hashmark Johnson. And as I said, they trained there. I had two uncles, as a matter of fact, who were original Montford Pointers, and they lived in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Well, Mr. Hooper, why did you decide to join the Marines?
Well, first of all, I was started to go to college, and I changed my mind. I said, well, it's not for me. I want to be a real soldier. So I decided to go ahead and enlist in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, go ahead.
I received pamphlets, you know, showing pictures of Marines in the dress blues, looking real sharp. And the recruiter, I went to a recruiting station in Brooklyn, New York, down in the Borough Hall section. And he says, yes, you can join the Marine Corps. And on the pamphlet, everything was all about Paris Island in San Diego, California. I said, well, good. I went home, told my mother, I'm going to enlist in the Marine Corps, which I did. The recruiter brought me home in his Jeep from downtown Brooklyn.
But you thought you were going to go to San Diego. When did you realize that you were on your way to North Carolina?
No, I thought I was going to Paris Island. You see, if you live west of the Mississippi, you go to San Diego. East of the Mississippi, they train at Paris Island.
I see. Well, when did you realize that you were headed to Montford Point?
The morning that I reported, I had already passed the written and physical tests. In the morning, I reported back to 90 Church Street in Manhattan to enlist. After we were sworn in, there were 7 white Marines and 2 black Marines. I was one. And after we were sworn in, the colonel handed me 2 record books. He says, you 2 men will be going to Montford Point, Camp Lejeune. My eyes opened up. I didn't know. I said, what? I was wondering whether I was going to be in the Marine Corps or not. So anyway, they took us down for breakfast. Then they loaded us in a van and carried us to the Hudson River, where we caught the ferry, went across from Manhattan to New Jersey, and we caught the Erie Railroad, which the Erie Railroad train, it took us to Washington, D.C., and that's when we checked in, the clerk, and he says, well, you guys can go walk around, have a good time, come back a certain time, which we did. And when we boarded the train again, they had, well, it was another man that met up with us in Washington. He came from Massachusetts, and was three of us at the time then. So when we went aboard the train, we were put in separate coaches, and I was wondering what was going on, you know. So I didn't see the white Marines who I enlisted with at all anymore. So then it was dinner time. I went to, went up to the dining car. It was a section, it was about where six people could eat, and then there was a curtain. And I looked and I was wondering, what is going on here? I had heard about it, but I had never physically witnessed it. And that was my first time beginning to witness Jim Crow.
And were you aware of the fact that you would be among the first African-Americans in the Marine Corps?
Well, not really, but because I used to see black Marines come home on Liberty and dating girls, and they'd be wearing their dress blues, and that's what really helped excited me to want to join the Marine Corps.
Well, Clarence, let me ask you, Clarence Willie, about the training at Montford Point and whether it was the same, because it was certainly, we're not talking about an integrated force here, that was still a segregated force. Was the training about the same for Montford Point Marines as it was for the rest of the Corps?
Oh, yeah, and I think Mr. Hooper can verify this. It was probably a little rougher because the drill instructors, Gilbert, among them was Gilbert Hashmock Johnson and Sergeant Major Edgar Huff. They were two of the very, very first drill instructors to come in. They were bound and determined to make sure that those African-American Marines measured up, and they trained, and they trained very, very hard. Now, the irony of that was that they didn't really have the opportunity to fight on the front lines. Most of them served as cooks. They served in supply, carried ammo, on Iwo Jima, which is chronicled in a book that I just wrote, African American Voices from Iwo Jima, which includes four Montford Point Marines. And they really didn't get the glory. I don't want to say glory, but they didn't the type of assignments that the white Marines were getting.
What were you doing, Mr. Hooper? Once you were trained, what were your assignments?
Okay, I served many MOS, but as military police, I served as a firefighter, and then I got shipped overseas. I thought we was heading for Korea, and I went to Japan. I served in Japan for 2 years as a military policeman, and I worked with the Japanese police. I learned to speak Japanese, learned to read a little of it, and also write some.
What was it? What was the experience like for you? You talked about, you know, seeing these guys come back in their dress blues. Then there were certain realities that you experienced, I'm sure, when you came down here. In the end, what was the experience like for you to become a Marine and to serve and now to be known as a Montford Point Marine?
Mm-hmm. Well, my heart is really full because that's one branch of service I'm glad I did enlist in, and I'm proud to be a Marine, and I will always be a Marine.
Clarence Willie, what's the significance, do you think, of this this recognition now, the Congressional Gold Medal, after all these years?
Well, I think it has gone a long way to recognize the service of these men. I mean, they were answering the call to duty. We were about to enter into World War II at the Depression. We were just coming out of the Depression, and they answered the call. A lot of them in previous conflicts, World War I, even in the Civil War, wanted to fight but were not really allowed to. But in at the beginning of World War II, that was mandated as a result of, frankly, the Roosevelt's executive order that the government would be open to all Americans.
So, Mr. Hooper, what was it like for you to be in D.C. last month with some of the guys? Did you recognize any of them and get together with some of the former Montford Point Marines and actually to receive that medal?
Yes, I did. It was a few guys that had gone through basic training with. And I was so glad to see them again. In fact, they recognized me before I could recognize them, which was what made my heart feel good. I said, oh, I'm not growing old. I said, you're different.
Some guys went to great lengths to be there, didn't they? There were guys in almost every condition to be.
The truth about it is, it seemed like to me I saw more in wheelchairs than I did actually sitting and walking around. So one man who I knew personally was on a girder, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
F.M. Hooper is one of the Marines who was honored in the ceremony for the Montford Point Marines this past June in Washington, D.C. Clarence Willey is a retired Marine officer who helped make the 2007 documentary called The Marines of Montford Point, Fighting for Freedom. Just ahead, an American ninja tells us about his trip to Japan to find the origins of ninjutsu. Hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.